This second experiment is the laser reflector.
Vacuum flashing.
Fringe elements of science. It's more in terms of holes and looking for patterns of connections, networks.
We found that getting them down produced no significant problems.
Series of important observations to artificially reproduce the light of the aurora and to present science with a summary of new and incontestable facts.
Or to opening ourselves to phenomena that don't fit into our preconceived notions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our next Solari Future Science Report. It's been a while, I know, but we will be going right back to our previous topic that has been talking about the phenomenal functions as well as characteristics of the DNA, our genetic code. We can reference back to the previous report, and if you haven't seen it, may I suggest that you go and look at it, especially at the first 20 minutes or half an hour, as this will give you a little bit of a foundation, at least in terms of the terminology that is going to be used also in today's report. Understanding science has a lot to do with understanding the vocabulary of the scientists. So if you don't have this present, please take the 20 minutes to watch the first part of the last report in order to catch up. What we are going to talk about today is the information content or the information structure of the genetic code. It is talking about the mathematics coded in the genetic code. Now, I know that mathematics is not everybody's cup of tea, but it is such a fascinating aspect of the genetic code that I'm sure each one of us will have some benefit from understanding the code within the code that we will be discovering. You will perhaps remember that the last report showed clearly that we are moving from a paradigm of biochemistry to a paradigm of the physics of biology, biophysics, including energy biology. This new understanding of biology in terms of biophysics and quantum biology has brought about many new applications, also in the field of medicine and healing. There's a whole field of electromedicine developing, showing us that we are actually electromagnetic bodies that react much more in terms of frequency than in terms of chemistry. This is also one of the problems that we are facing nowadays with the electromagnetic pollution that is artificially produced in our environment through microwaves from cell phones and the installation of 5G networks, that we begin to realize we as electromagnetic biophysical transducers, literally biocomputers, are affected by the artificial waveforms and the information that is modulated upon these waveforms. Today's report will be looking at another paradigm shift that is taking place in science, one that hasn't reached the public awareness yet, but in my opinion is going to play an overwhelming role in the coming decades. And that is, in addition to the chemical biology, to the energy biology or physics of biology, we have a third layer, namely informational biology or bioinformatics. It is a biological mathematics and thermodynamics, which is looking at the question of where does the information of the biological organism come from? Years ago, such a space-time biology would have remained completely abstract. But quantum physics and what we can call post-quantum physics is leading us ever more to the ability and increased desire to manipulate space and time themselves. This is a fascinating topic, one of my favorites, and is, I think, part of the natural evolution of the human noosphere, namely, to develop a new definition of space that is now emerging, which is no longer the passive and neutral background for the events in physics and chemistry and biology and sociology to take place, but is itself a co-informing active agent in all processes. So this new definition of space would be seeing space more in terms of an informational or consciousness space, a consciousness time space that is defined more by its entropy and centropy, its patterns of information, rather than by the distribution of matter and energy. I feel that this is behind the whole thrust for gravitational waves, as well as neutrino telescopes exploring dark matter and dark energy, as these areas are situated at the threshold between this dimensional reality of the physics of matter and energy and another dimensional reality of information, of patterns, of symmetry, and the inherent organization of space and time itself. Once we master these concepts, I predict that such ideas will leave the domain of pure philosophy and theory and actually take us into a type of consciousness physics, literally the exploration of consciousness spaces that are just as real as the three-dimensional space that we believe we see around us. Technologies such as remote viewing and the application of the Kozyrev mirrors are indicators of this emergence of a new physics of space and time itself. Secret government research and big data mining corporations have realized this paradigm shift a while ago, but have kept us uninformed. The average person has to understand that the shift to a physics of space-time, a physics of consciousness, has already taken place and will allow us to manipulate reality in unimaginable ways. The information that follows on the mathematics of DNA should be understood and appreciated in this context. In a very recent publication of September 10th, 2019, a team of researchers of the Tokyo Institute of Technology writes that they found conclusive evidence that the current set of 20 amino acids used in all life on this planet is the optimal, or one of very, very few optimal sets of billions of different types of sets of amino acids that nature could have chosen during evolution. The team calculated the possible ways of making sets of 3 to 20 amino acids from a library of 1,913 virtual amino acids that could have been computed by nature over time. And what they found is that there are 10 to the power of 48 ways of making sets of 20 amino acids if you only use a library of 1,913. Now, this is more than there are grains of sand on Earth, They write, and more than there are stars in the entire universe. Only about 1 in a billion of these random sets has similar chemical properties as our set of 20 adapted coded amino acids. The compared three properties of our current set of amino acids with hypothetical or random sets of amino acids. These three properties are the so-called van der Waals volume, which is a measure of the volume of space occupied by the amino acid, and it plays a role in mediating interactions depending on the spatial configuration of the molecule. The second property is the so-called logarithmic acid dissociation constant, which is essential for building the surface potentials of the molecules and thus essential for any catalytic processes. And finally, the pH of proton transfer by the amino acid side chain. And what a side chain is, we will see later. These three properties describe a type of a chemical space. That's the term, not the use of the word space. And the set of 20 amino acids covers this space perfectly. They found that among a billion random sets of 20 amino acids, there is only 6 that have similar or better coverage of the chemical space in all of the three properties. They also found that other sets of 20 amino acids or even of less amino acids that contain at least 1 or 2 of our current coding amino acids would be much better in adaptivity than sets, random sets that contain none of our 20 amino acids. And what is more, none of the artificial sets would use less energy for the same capacity as our natural 20 amino acids. This means that life on Earth has somehow chosen the best possibility among billions of different sets. And it may mean that life beyond Earth may look very similar or use a very similar set, a type of an amino acid language that is universal. One of the co-authors of the report saying, quote, "Life may not be just a set of accidental events. Rather, there may be some universal laws governing the evolution of life." As surprising as this is, the idea underneath this research is still that nature, by trial and error, somehow came up with the very best set of amino acids. Before we had this set of 20 coded amino acids, there may have been precursor sets, and ultimately nature remained with this perfection. The research and publications that we will be looking at in a minute, however, are so surprising that it may not be possible any longer to speak of the genetic code emerging through natural mutation and selection, but rather that the code was designed. The following information on the mathematics of the genetic code, published and discovered by Vladimir Sherbak of Kazakhstan National University, is so outstanding that it may introduce a completely new perspective upon the informational origin of the genetic code. But before we go there, let us look at a few minutes of this video.
Stephen Meyer, author of the New York Times bestseller, Darwin's Doubt, explains. According to neo-Darwinism, new genetic information arises as a result of random mutations in the arrangement of the nucleotide bases along the spine of the DNA molecule. If those random changes are beneficial, they're passed on and preserved. And if many such changes are preserved and passed on, they would accumulate over time and eventually result in a very significant change in the morphology, the form of the organism.
That's like saying if this game had glitches every time it was copied online, and gamers shared their favorite mutated versions and trashed the rest, it would eventually turn into this. Come on, really? If we know the computer glitches won't produce a new video game, how much sense does it make to believe that glitches, copying errors, and our DNA code can produce new organisms? Could random mutations in DNA really produce this? 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 What about this? 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 Or this?
Everything we know about software shows that random changes in a section of functional code or functional information is going to degrade that information long before you ever get to something fundamentally new. And that's the problem with the mutation selection mechanism as an explanation for new genetic information. Information in DNA is also essentially typographic or digital. And there are far more ways to go wrong in arranging those characters than there are ways to go right. And so as you begin to randomly change them, you inevitably fall into a non-functional abyss long before you ever generate anything fundamentally new.
So just how unlikely is it for random genetic changes to produce something new, even something as modest as a protein structure with a new function? One scientist performed experiments that enabled him to actually calculate the odds, and they aren't good. In fact, they're next to impossible. We caught up with a molecular biologist, Douglas Axe, in Seattle.
In our lab work, we've asked how rare or how common functional proteins are within the space of possibilities. Doing experiments and calculations, we found that they're exceedingly rare, like 1 in 10 to the 74th power rare. To get a feel for those odds, imagine that somebody hid one atom somewhere within the Milky Way galaxy, and you, blindfolded by chance, are supposed to pick one atom and hope that it's the right one. Those odds would be better than the odds for the protein.
Axe calculated the probability for all the chance mutations in all of the life forms on Earth for billions of years. And in all that time, he found they couldn't chance on even one new functional protein structure. Not one. Zero. And keep in mind, it takes thousands of distinct proteins to build any kind of complex life, including humans. And many of these proteins are unique to each individual life form. So we go from improbable to basically impossible.
The bottom line is that the mutation selection mechanism simply lacks the creative power to generate the new information necessary to build new organisms in the history of life.
If the material processes of mutation and natural selection aren't capable of producing the biological information needed for life, then where did it come from?
Our uniform and repeated experience, as Darwin himself pointed out, is the basis of all scientific reasoning about the past. So when we see information in a digital form in software, or we see a paragraph in a book, and we trace that information back to its source, we always come to a mind, not a material process. That's part of what we know from our observation of the world around us, that information always arises from an intelligent source. So we can apply that knowledge to the question of historical biology. And when we see that information is the foundation of life, we can infer that the best explanation for the origin of that information is, in fact, also a mind, a conscious agent, not an undirected material process.
So we remember that the genetic code translates the sequence of nucleotides into amino acids. As a refresher, we remember that there are 20 amino acids. Each is made of a triplet of nucleotide bases, so-called codons. When these codons are stringed together, or amino acids are stringed together, they form the proteins for the functioning of the body. Now, Sherbach and others after him found an intriguing code within that genetic code that is purely mathematical. And that is showing that the amino acids in their relationship to each other form intricate arithmetical symmetries based on their molecular mass numbers. Sherbach found the following purely mathematical or arithmetical characteristics in the genetic code. One, the genetic code is structured by prime numbers, particularly the prime number 37. Two, the genetic code is using the decimal numeral system or base 10 number system. Three, the genetic code contains the concept of zero. And four, there are perfect symmetries of the distribution of the amino acids amongst themselves. Now, these are quite a number of specific terms, so let us look at them briefly so we can follow the argument by Sherbach with confidence. The decimal system, also called the base 10 numeral system, is the number system that is most widely used upon Earth and is what we use also in our hemisphere. That's the numbers from 0 to 9, the counting system on the base 10. There are other numeral systems, such as a base 2 system, which is used, for example, in computer science, or a base 20 system, as is known that the Maya had used. There's also the duodecimal or base 12 system. There's a sexagesimal system that the Sumerians and the Babylonians used based on 60. But most cultures, from the Chinese to the Arabs, to the Hindu, to the Egyptians, to the Hebrews, and also our current day Western world, is using the base 10, the so-called decimal number system. Numbers, in terms of quantities, may be represented in different systems. The base giving the number of different digits or symbols that the system uses to represent a number. So the decimal system uses 10 digits, 0 to 9, while the binary system uses only two different symbols, 1 and 0. And yet, you can represent any number also in a binary system. For example, the number 73 looks different in the different base systems. It is believed that most of human society is using the decimal system because we have 10 fingers and we may be counting with the 10 fingers. That may be true, but if it turns out that the genetic code favors the decimal system, then there may be more profound or fundamental reason why much of society has developed the decimal. For physics or chemistry, supposedly does not favor a certain numerical system. You could use base 2 or base 6 to make the same calculations. But the symmetries that Sherbach found in the genetic code become obvious only in the decimal system. For only in the decimal system does the prime number 37 show its digital symmetry features. 37 is a very, very interesting number. 37 is the 12th prime number, and it is the mirror of another prime number, namely the prime number 73, which itself is the 21st prime number. So there are very interesting correlations between 37 and 73. Both 37 and 73 are so-called star numbers. And the product of 37 times 73 is what is called a triangular number, the number 2701. which is, interestingly, the 73rd triangular number. By the way, the 37th triangular number, which is 703, again the same digits, fits inside the 73rd triangular number, 2701. Furthermore, the 37th triangular number, 703, is a multiple of 37, equaling 19 times 37. As an aside, the sum of the first 37 natural numbers equals 703, and the sum of the first 73 natural numbers equals 2701. So we can already see that there are quite intriguing aspects of the prime numbers 37. Figurate numbers, are also called polygonal or polyhedral numbers, show already that these specific numbers have a relationship to space and spatial configuration. There is an interesting problem in mathematics called Waring's problem that states that every natural number can be represented as the sum of powers of another number. And it turns out that every natural number can be represented as the sum of at most 4 square numbers or at most 9 cube numbers. Interestingly, this goes on into higher powers or dimensions. Every natural number can be represented by 19 fourth powers, 37 fifth powers, and 73 sixth powers. In the future, we will talk more about numbers and their characteristics on this Solari Future Science report, especially about transcendental numbers such as e and pi. For it may be that numbers are not just abstract inventions of the human mind, but are actual entities of physics. Let me say this again. Numbers are most likely not only intellectual, cultural inventions, but there is a physicality of numbers relating mass and physics fundamentally. That can be seen in the fact that any number can be represented as a continued fraction, which shows us that numbers fundamentally are oscillations, probably space-time oscillations. There are certain arithmetical features unique to the number 37 that we also find as functional within the genetic code. 37 multiplied by 3 or multiples of 3 will deliver identical digits, such as 37 times 3 is 111. 37 times 6, 2 times 3, is 222. 37 times 9, or 3 times 3, is 333. And you get the pattern. These products of identical digits we will see appear in the symmetries of the amino acids and their nucleon numbers in the genetic code. If you arrange these products in terms of the decimal system in rows of 9, another feature becomes apparent. Not only will the numbers with identical digits yield the actual quotient as a sum, such as 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3, 4 plus 4 plus 4 is 12, 7 plus 7 plus 7 is 21, but also the products with unique digits are linked by cyclical permutations in the columns. As we can see, 259 becomes 592 becomes 925, or 296 becomes 6, 2, 9, becomes 9, 6, 2. And the same holds for the other columns. As Scherbach points out, this feature of the triple product of 37 yielding numbers with identical digits allows for quickly checking whether any higher number is divisible by 37 or is a multiple of 37. For example, the number 13,901,085. Is this a number divisible by 37? What you do is you apportion the number into triplets. And remember also that genetic code apportions its letters into triplets. So you end up with 139, then the triplet 110, and then the triplet 85, and you add a zero. If the checksum of the triplets equals one of the numbers with identical digits, such as 999, then the number 13,901,085 is divisible by 37. Scherbach notes that only a three-digit adding machine is needed to show divisibility by the prime number of 37 of any number, regardless of how large the number is. Remember, however, that this only works in the decimal system, because the number 111, for example, will not look like 111 as a very simple internal structure in any other base system, such as the octal base or the binary system. Now, what has this got to do with the genetic code? As we saw from the work of the Tokyo Institute of Technology, from the perspective of natural evolution, we could have very different amino acids, even sets of less or more than 20 amino acids. So the amino acids that we have are regarded as the product, the end product of a long process of random selection, mutation, evolution. That once the best set was chosen, didn't change any longer. The code, as we know, hasn't changed for millions of years. Despite the assumed arbitrariness or randomness of the 20 amino acids and their structure, biologists are looking and searching for categories and for certain patterns. For example, the 20 amino acids are categorized according to being pyrimidines or purines. Pyrimidines are those amino acids that begin with the nucleotide base cytosine or with the nucleotide base thymine. And purines are those that begin with the nucleotide base adenine or guanine. There is another categorization of amino acids, namely according to their degeneracy. Degeneracy defines if an amino acid is coded by more than one triplet. For example, we have the amino acid tryptophan that is coded by only one possible codon or triplet, TGG. While we have the amino acid leucine, for example, that is coded by four different triplets, all coding for leucine. So the amino acids can be organized into four different groups based on their degeneracy. Those that are coded by one codon, by two codons, three, or by four codons. Amino acids are also classified according to some of their chemical or physical characteristics. They are classified as hydrophobic or hydrophilic amino acids. They are also classified as acidic and basic amino acids. Now, each amino acid in its molecular structure is composed of two components, one being what is called the standard block, and the second being what is called the side chain. And it is the characteristics of the side chain that determine the behavior of the amino acid. Because this is very important for Sherbach's work, let us look at this a little more closely. Here we can see the molecular structure of the 20 amino acids. And you can see that each one consists, first of all, of a carboxylic acid group and an amine group that forms what is called the standard block. Because the standard block is always the same in each of the 20 amino acids, it will also have always the same atoms that compose it, or elements, and thus will have the same molecular weight. We can see here that the amine group consists of a nitrogen and two hydrogens, of a carbon and a hydrogen, and of a carbon, two oxygen and one hydrogen. Connected to one of the carbons is the so-called side chain or radical, the R group. And it is this R group that makes the different natures of the 20 amino acids. The molecular mass of a chemical or of these amino acids is composed of the number of nucleons in the constituent atoms, that is, the protons or the neutrons in the nuclei of the atoms that make up the molecule. So if for the standard block we have one nitrogen, four hydrogens, two carbons and two oxygens, the mass number, the number of protons and neutrons will be 74, 39 protons and 35 neutrons. The other constituent part of the amino acids is the radical or side chain. And the side chains differ. There are longer ones and shorter ones. And because they consist of a different number of atoms, their mass number will be very different. For example, the amino acid glycine, which is the smallest or shortest of all of the amino acid side chains, only has a hydrogen atom. While the amino acid arginine, for example, consists of a much longer side chain with a much different mass number. This table gives you the mass numbers for all standard blocks and all side chains of each of the 20 amino acids. To recapitulate, we have here the 64 triplets or codons, which code for 20 amino acids. Since there are more codons than amino acids, it is logical that there is a certain amount of redundancy or synonymous codons, that is, different codons coding for the same amino acid. This is called degeneracy. We see four groups: group 4, group 3, 2, and 1. It is interesting that there is a first symmetry between groups of degeneration, namely the ones of group 4, those that are coded by 4 codons, are the same amount as those that are coded by 3, 2, and 1 codons. Here we have the amino acids sorted by their degeneracy. Glycine, alanine, serine, etc., belonging to group 4, group 3, group 2, and group 1. We also have the chemical composition or the mass number for each of the amino acids. We have the standard block that is the same for each of the amino acids with the mass number 74. And we have the side chain for each of the amino acids, which will vary in size and length, and their mass numbers. For glycine, for example, the side chain mass number is 1. The side chain mass number for alanine is 15, etc. Okay, all of this was necessary to fully appreciate the arithmetic symmetries that we are now going to look at. What are the patterns that Shabak found in the distribution of the codons in a genetic code? We have already seen a perfect division between the amino acids that are coded by 4 triplets and those that are coded by 3, 2, or 1 triplets. Now, if you take the 8 amino acids of degeneracy 4, these are threonine, alanine, valine, glycine, serine, arginine, leucine, and proline, and you sum up the mass numbers, namely the nucleons, in both the standard blocks as well as the side chains or radicals, you come to a very interesting number pattern. The sum of the mass numbers of these 8 standard blocks is 592, and the sum of the mass numbers of the side chains of these 8 amino acids is 333. Here we have our first pattern of the prime number 37. For both 592 and 333, as we have seen earlier, are multiples of 37. 333 is 6 times 37. 592 is 16 times 37. And what is more, the sum of those, of course, would then be also a multiple of 37, namely 25 times 37. Shabak points out that the 3x3, 4x4, and 5x5 is a perfect Pythagorean triangle. Furthermore, it is interesting that the numbers 925 and 592 are permutations of each other, with the third permutation that is possible, namely 259, also being a multiple of 37, namely 7 times 37. This is astonishing, for these numbers are self-referential, and they are all built upon one prime number. And remember, this is not just mathematics, but the basis for these values we have derived from physics, namely from the nucleon number, the number of protons and neutrons in the molecules of the amino acids. So this mathematical pattern is not just some beautiful fantasy, but it is there in the actual elementary particle physics of the genetic code. What about the other amino acids that are coded by 3, 2, or 1 triplets? Those are the amino acids aspargine, lysine, serine, arginine, isoleucine, methionine, aspartic acid, glutamic acid, tyrosine, cysteine, tryptophan, phenylalanine, leucine, histidine, and glutamine. If you sum up the nucleons in their standard blocks, you get a total of 1,110. And if you sum up the nucleons in their side chains, you get the same number, 1,110. A perfect symmetry in standard block nucleons and side chain nucleons. And we know, of course, that 1,110 is a number that is divisible by 37, namely 30 times 37. A fascinating coincidence, you might think, that even though the length of the side chains is very different in each of these amino acids, yet their sum amounts to the same total number of nucleons as the number of nucleons in the sum of the standard blocks. There's a second pattern. Remember that the amino acids are categorized into pyrimidines and purines. Purines have adenine or guanine as their first base, and pyrimidines have cytosine or thymine as their first base. If we look at all the pyrimidines and take the sum of their nucleons in standard blocks and side chains, we come to, again, an interesting symmetry of the number of 37. 814 is the sum of the nucleons in the standard blocks, which is 22 times 37, and it is also the sum of the nucleons in the side chain, 22 times 37. Now, looking at the purines, if we take the sum of the nucleons in the standard blocks of the purine amino acids, we arrive at the number 888, which is recognizably to us now a multiple of 37. The number of nucleons in the radicals or side chains of the purines gives us the number of 629, again a multiple of 37. However, there is another pattern in there if we represent these sums in a different way. For 888 can be represented as 592 plus 592 halves. And 629 can be represented as 333 plus 592 halves. And the total number of nucleons in the group of the purines, which amounts to 1517, is also representable as 925 plus 592. Again, we see the cyclic permutation of the numbers in the sums of the nucleons. So in the purine group, we again have a representation of the Pythagorean triangle. 3 times 3 times 37 plus 4 times 4 times 37 equals 5 times 5 times 37. But there's more. Looking at the traditional table of the 64 DNA codons, Scherbach finds that there are nucleon symmetries both in the outer and the inner columns, as well as in the outer and the inner rows. Let us first take the sums of nucleons in the inner columns. We have a radical nucleon sum of 654 and a standard block nucleon sum of 814. And then taking the sum of nucleons of the two outer columns, we have a side chain or radical nucleon sum of 789 and a nucleon sum of standard blocks of 888. Now, the standard block sums are both divisible by 37, 814 being 22 times 37. And of course, 888 is recognizably to us a multiple of 37. The radical sums are individually taken, not divisible by 37. However, in their own sums, 654 plus 789, we have again a divisible by 37, namely 1443 is 39 times 37. And one more pattern like this, namely the rows, the outer rows and the inner rows. If we take the outer rows, the up and bottom row, and sum up the nucleons of their radicals, we arrive at 654, and the nucleons of their standard blocks arrive at 814. and taking the sums of the radicals of the inner two rows, we arrive at the sum of 789 and of the standard blocks of the inner two rows, 888. So in the same way, summing up the totals of radicals of outer and inner rows gives us 1,443 divisible by 37. And summing up the totals of the standard blocks of inner and outer rows gives us 1,702, again, divisible by 37. Now, this, again, may not sound as much. However, it is quite amazing that in a seemingly arbitrary table arrangement of the 64 codons, the outer rows and inner rows, as well as the outer columns and inner columns, would bring the same partial sums of radicals and standard blocks, each then again being divisible by 37. In a fourth symmetry, Scherbach discovered the number 37 as well as rotation in the following way. In the same way of counting the nucleons in standard blocks and side chains of amino acids, he's now looking at those amino acids that share two identical bases or letters. The total number of nucleons in the radicals of double A amino acids plus the total number of nucleons in the radicals of double G amino acids amounts to 999. And again, the total number of nucleons in the radicals of double T amino acids, as well as the total number of nucleons in the radicals of double C amino acids, amounts to 999. The total sums of nucleons in the standard blocks of each of those four groups amounts each to a multiple of 37. 592, 666, 666, 666. And of course, their total sums again are divisible by 37. What is more, if you look at the positioning of each of these groups in the table of the 64 triplets, you realize that the double A and double G triplets and the double T and double C triplets are in an exact rotational symmetry to each other in the table. And finally, if you look at the sums of the nucleons in the radical of each of these double base groups, 535, 464, 547, 452, you arrive at the most amazing symmetry in the summation of these digits, both a symmetry as well as a cyclical permutation. Each of the sums, whether read from the left to the right or counted from the right to the left, and in each of the permutations of each of the numbers, gives you a triple of 666. By itself, it is a feat to find four different, seemingly unrelated numbers that in each of their permutations and sums gives you a triple of 666. But to have this number from the nucleons of atoms in molecules that make up the genetic code is mind-blowing. Now we are looking at one final pattern that Scherbach discovered and describes, namely at the rest of the amino acids, those that are coded by triplets with three identical bases and those that are coded by triplets of three different bases. Of the amino acids that are coded by triplets of different or unique bases. Half have codons that change in a clockwise rotation, and the other half have codons that change in an anti-clockwise fashion. And if your head is spinning by now in either anti-clockwise or clockwise way, I don't blame you. Looking at the chart will help you. The mass number of side chains of codons changing in clockwise fashion is 703, a multiple of 37. The sum of the mass numbers of the standard blocks of these clockwise alternating amino acids is 962, another multiple of 37. Now, in the group of amino acids coded by triplets of unique bases that are changing in anticlockwise way, we arrive at the very same sums, a total symmetry in both groups, as well as a rotational symmetry in the positioning of each of these triplets in the table of the 64 codons. There are more patterns contained in the genetic code that mathematicians as well as private researchers are discovering. People are looking at the nuclear number or mass number, but they're also looking at the atomic number, namely the proton number in the amino acids, and find astonishing patterns. The number of protons, for example, in the codons of the amino acids is, according to the work of Jean-Yves Boulet, totally based upon the number 28. Others have found additional prime numbers in the genetic code, as well as the golden mean and number 5. It is impossible to discuss or even mention all of the studies and discoveries, so I will refer you to the bibliography that is attached to this report and transcript. All are showing such a high complexity of the codedness of the genetic code that Vladimir Scherbak and Maxim Makukov have called it the wow signal of the terrestrial genetic code, in reference to the wow signal that indicated a first seemingly intelligent radio signal received in the SETI research coming from the constellation of Sagittarius. The signals, so to speak, in terms of mathematics, numbers, and symmetries that are found in the genetic code are just as astonishing and are speaking of a possible artificial origin of the genetic code. The code we find is not chemical, but mathematical and informational, as well as quantum physical, which at the same time exhibits a spatial structure in the code that reveals almost like a polyhedral motor or engine of the production of the code. Ultimately, I suggest it may be a spatio-temporal structure that scientists are beginning to see emerging mathematically and geometrically from the genetic code. My own kind of far-out speculation about the 20 amino acids is that they represent a type of hyperdimensional language set or hieroglyphics actualizing a larger image space that is multi-generational. Literally from the first Adamic conception to the last Adam. I speculate that the 20 amino acid codons and their intricate symmetries and hyperspatial geometries are connected with the 20 temporal histogram patterns that Simon Schnall discovered in all physical, biological, chemical, and other processes going on planet Earth. So that they are mapping not only space, but also time cycles in the helical movement of planet Earth and the solar system. Just like the DNA dodecahedral geometry itself is an indicator of this helical time-space motion. In short, space itself may be encoding the code. A lot of the new physics, from neutrinos to gravitational waves to wave genomes, indicates to me that we are missing something about space and time themselves, that they may be more than passive and neutral frames, but active and intelligent agents. For the mathematician and linguistic biologist, however, who discovers these intricate symmetries and patterns of order and arithmetics in the genetic code, the question remains: where did the information come from? How could, in a seemingly arbitrary process of random mutation and selection, this amount of order emerge? And when is the understanding of these symmetries beginning to change our understanding of who we are, where we come from, and where we are going? Soon after the discovery of the genetic code, researchers began to ponder the similarity and relationship between the 64 triplet structure and the likewise 64 fields of the chess game, as well as the transformations of the I Ching. Both are ancient mathematical philosophical items. Other permutations of 64 have long been known and used in the context of the four letters of the Hebrew name of God, which consists of three letters in four places, thus giving 64 combinations. There is a particularly interesting connection of this topic to the Hebrew language system. I first became aware of Sherbach's work some 20 years ago, even before his initial publication of 1994 had appeared in English, which happened in 2008. But back then, the literature was inaccessible. It was due to my studies with an inspired text called The Keys of Enoch that I came across a direct link between the codon triplets, the mathematical symmetries, as well as a relationship to the Hebrew language. That book is probably the first publication, published in 1973, mentioning a detailed mathematical structure of the genetic code and a relationship of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet with the 20 amino acids and the two start and stop signs in the code. The coincidence of informational behavior of human civilizational languages and DNA was pointed out in the Wave Genome Report in our Solari Future Science series. So there is a deeper informational relationship between language and DNA. Languages themselves are inherently mathematical constructs. Linguistic grammar ruling the combinatorial laws of information transfer. This is particularly visible in ancient languages such as the Hebrew that were not only letter systems but also number systems. In the ancient Hebrew, numbers were represented in the shape of letters. The number one, for example, being the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. The number two, the second letter, bet. In this way, each letter had a numerical value. And mathematical formulas, in a sense, could be literally read as strings of letters or words, and vice versa, words could be read as strings of numbers. Supporting this, recent research demonstrates that, contrary to long-held assumptions that counting and numerical thinking is only possible after having learned the words for numbers higher than three, children of certain languages or cultures that do not have words for precise numbers count as well as children speaking languages with number concepts. There seems to exist a biological or neurological, or maybe even deeper layered, basis for numbers independent of cultural language. Number and mathematics may be the prime agent in the nervous system to produce language and grammar. With this in mind, let's look at the one other place where a perfect coding of the prime number 37 has also been discovered. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim vet ha-aretz. These are seven Hebrew words with 28 letters, and they are the first seven words of the book of Genesis in the Torah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. With every Hebrew letter having a mathematical value, each of these words can be represented as a numerical sum. The sum total of these seven words is 2,701. Very, very amazing, for 2,701 is the product of 37 and 73. What do you think? Is this a little hint as to the origin of the genetic code?